Notre Dame, with a historic tradition of excellence, welcomes you to the Jack Swarbrick Show, where we pursue all things Notre Dame athletics.
The Jack Swarbrick Show is brought to you by
Team Notre Dame Partner Spirit, Coke Zero, Under Armour, Gatorade, and is also sponsored by Xfinity. Now, the host of the Jack Swarbrick Show, Jack Nolan, on your home for Notre Dame football, 89 WLS.
Welcome, Irish fans, to the Jack Swarbrick Show. After our special football recruiting show last week, we return to the Fighting Irish Media headquarters for this week's edition. As February rolls on, the baseball season is fast approaching, and the Irish baseball team is getting set to open its season with a three-game weekend series at Santa Clara starting February 19th. Head coach Mick Aoki will stop by to give us some insight into the 2016 Irish. The 7th-ranked Irish women's lacrosse team got its season underway last weekend with a big win over three-time defending Atlantic Sun champion Jacksonville. Captain Barbara Sullivan will join us to talk about that game and the season outlook for the women's lacrosse team. But first, to get things started, here are your hosts, Joe Schmidt and Jack Swarbrick.
Well, we're back from our first remote show.
I know.
We seem to survive it. It went okay. So,
at least I think so. I haven't seen the reviews. I try not to look, but
yeah, they were strong. Very strong. You were on all day. It was like a telethon.
It felt kind of like it. So we had a blast though. We got such a great recruiting class and finally got Coach Elston on the show. I mean that was incredible. Thank you for doing that.
Huge victory. You asked all of us the hot 16.
Yeah, the hot topic.
Hot topic, 16 yeah. questions for the class of 2016.
Oh, yeah.
All the coaches were put through it. The athletic director was put through it. So what was the most memorable response you got that you can share with us?
I can't believe when I asked you who was the better Notre Dame linebacker, Manti Te'o or Joe Schmidt, I just can't believe you said Manti. I really can't. No, but there were some really funny responses from the hot topic. You know, just people choosing, Coach Van Gorder just murmuring steak as to what food he would be. So for the listeners that might be interested in these segments, they're all on watchnd.com, and they're all up there with all the coaches. And then we also have your bit up there, Jack, and Jack has some great responses as well. But before we get into the wonderful weekend that was Notre Dame athletics, I have to ask you, I think I saw your face on the broadcast of the Super Bowl. Was that you?
Yeah, I've heard a rumor of this. I was in attendance.
You were in attendance.
But other than the little bit I did playing piano for Lady Gaga during the national anthem, I was surprised I made it on TV. No, I was there. Had a great time. You know, we have this little rivalry where I'm sort of a Northern California fan and you're a Southern California guy. And it was four spectacular weather days in the Bay Area. I don't think you could go there this time of year and get days like that. Crystal clear and not very windy, great temperatures. And it all worked very well. I was interested to go out there because I was part of the process for picking Levi's Stadium to host the college football playoffs in a few years.
Right.
And so I wanted to see how it worked, and the logistics were great. It's you got in and out fine. The stadium sets up really well for an event like that, and I had a special rooting interest, I think, known Peyton for a long time, so I was pulling for Denver. But in addition, David Bruton and Ryan Harris are on the Broncos. Not to slight our Carolina guy, but we had two on the Broncos along with Peyton. So I was rooting for them, and certainly Cam's time will come. But it was good to see Peyton get that last one.
I mean, I think it's just amazing how young and talented that Carolina Panthers team is, and the future for them is so bright. But really, for a defensive guy, that game was just so much fun to watch. I mean, I know that a lot of my friends were texting me during the game and saying, you know, this game is terrible, blah blah blah. But I thought it was awesome, and I thought that the quality of defense and really just what Denver did up front was just it was amazing. And I don't know if you thought the same thing sitting there, but I had to say.
Yeah, no, you had to appreciate the defense. There's so many great defensive players on the field. But I was really surprised at the amount of pressure Denver was getting with four rushers. And they were able to stay in their lanes,
yeah.
You know, keep that pocket maintained. But, you know, I think if Carolina had pulled that game out Kuechly would have been the MVP.
Yeah.
Because he was all over the field. He was tackling everybody.
I mean, he's an incredible player. And every time I talk to one of the linebackers here, or, you know, the guy I love to joke about it with is Dan Fox, because we say we took Fox over Kuechly back in the day, and Dan loves saying it. So for those of you who don't know, Dan's a former linebacker here at Notre Dame, and we're of the opinion that if he continues to play at this high level and improve like he has, he might go down as the greatest of all time to play the linebacker position, and he really showed it during the game. He's so fast, explosive, and he does everything really well. But
reminds me of Joe Schmidt.
I was going to say, it sounds a lot like another guy I know. Yeah, but let's move forward now onto the weekend of Notre Dame athletics, and the one where I have to start is the huge upset victory over North Carolina. But I kind of get mad when people keep calling these upsets. It's like,
right,
we're crushing the top five when they come into Purcell Pavilion. What did you think of the game?
Yeah, well, it was a great continuation of that tradition, and it is so fun to look at it. All of the number ones
I know
over the years that have come in here, and of course some of the most memorable games in college basketball history, like the UCLA game. Digger would want me to say
that. I was going to say, you had to throw that one in there.
That's right. But, it was a great – great effort. I love the toughness that's developing in this team, because what a great first half. And there was no panic. There was a great resilience in both the Duke game and this game. When the stakes are kind of the highest, Bonzi really gets juiced by that, and the energy he brings, the loose balls he was getting to, but the whole team played well. We're so fortunate to have the guys we have on that squad. Obviously a huge game, but in some ways I thought the next one was even more important,
right?
Because you've only got a 48-hour turnaround. You're going to the home venue of an ACC team that hasn't lost there. You're tied with them in the ACC standings, and you go in there and you play. You know, they were ahead the entire game, played really well. You know, pretty much Demetrius and Steve Vastoria don't come off the court anymore, and increasingly Rex doesn't come off the court anymore. And with back-to-backs like that, when you're playing the full load of minutes, it really is tough. And you could see we were pretty tired at the end of that game, but boy, they persevered. And I love the way, notwithstanding that they were very tired, they down the stretch, they hit every free throw. They were great. But speaking of great coaches, we had a couple of great women's victories.
We did.
During this period of time, too. A really big win over the weekend against Louisville. I was I was watching the game on my phone on the bus ride down to Levi's Stadium for the game, and there's like 4 minutes left, and we hit the stadium, and I don't have cell coverage anymore.
Oh, no.
So I was dying. Finally got a text message from somebody letting me know what happened. But a really big win for the women. Ranked number 3, maybe number 2 now with South Carolina's loss to UConn. But go down into a tough venue in Louisville, sold out against a very good Louisville team, down virtually the whole game. And at the end of it, I thought our experience really shone through.
Yeah, I mean, our team is just so tough, and the girls battle so hard. And I think, you know, we talked about this when we had Lindsay on, just, you know, the leadership that they have and their ability to kind of fight through any adversity. And you know, we talked even about just being ready for every game. Well, that was a big one, and they really delivered on a big stage and won on the road in a tough environment. So, I mean, I just think there's a lot of good things to be said about both basketball programs right now, and obviously the direction that the women have been going in for so long, and the men are obviously right there with them now, and it's great to see Notre Dame really being just a very excelling in all sports right now.
You mentioned Lindsay. She's was announced this week. She's a finalist for the Lieberman Award for best point guard, and I can't imagine a circumstance under which she wouldn't have been a finalist. She runs that show so well. And Madison Cable, who's really been a difference maker in recent games, was the ACC Player of the Week, and deservedly so. She has just been outstanding for this team, and you can just see her confidence growing. I'm excited to see what the rest of the year holds for her.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she's always been such a good shooter, and really I think her entire career here, she's been so good at that. But I think she's really contributing in so many ways on the floor right now, and she's a fifth-year, fourth-year senior, and she's doing such a great job, you know, leading this team as well. So I think she's had a great year, and I'm looking forward to the rest of it.
Yeah, she's an energy player. She brings such energy, such toughness. She's amazing. Speaking of guests who have been on our show, Molly Seidel, not to be confused with Seidel.
Not to be confused.
Molly helped us get that right. Set the school record in the 3,000 meters last weekend in a time of 8:57, which is about, you know, only about, you know, what I'd do 1,000 meters
in. I was going to say, what?
it gives her the number one time in the country. So here you have the NCAA cross-country champion, the indoor champion in the 5,000, and now in the 3,000, going to number one in the country. She's on fire.
I mean, that doesn't even make sense to me. I don't understand how she does all of these amazing feats on the track and off the track, for that matter, on cross country. Because I mean, she's running such far distances at such low speeds, and she just continues to get better. It doesn't make any sense. So the program that they've built over there, with on the track team, it's amazing. And you know, hats off to her for her success. And it was fun. I walked around the Mayo and kind of watched the events transpire that day. It was cool.
That is neat. And keeping with the themes of guests on our show, another one who's just been red hot is Cal Peterson. Hockey, who's now ranked eighth in the country, went and swept Vermont last week. They're 12-2-2 in Hockey East, tied for first place in the league. They are playing really well, and a lot of it has to do with a really solid defense.
Yeah, I think they struggled a few years ago as they kind of went through the growing phases of this program, but now these guys are getting older, they're more solidified, they're veteran guys now, and they're really playing great hockey. And I think, you know, Coach Jackson's done a great job kind of developing the guys and building a really great culture. And obviously the hockey team's had such success over the last 5-10 years, but really I think that this team is doing so well, and it's been fun to kind of watch their growth, though. And that's kind of what I wanted to hit on, is the growth that this team has had and these guys have had. It's just been really fascinating.
Yeah. You know, all the national news outlets are following the New Hampshire primary, now on to South Carolina. We're focused on a different election here at Notre Dame.
We are.
So as we end this first segment, I got to ask you for your prediction, because by the time this airs, we'll know the outcome. But how do we think Mr. Robinson is going to do in his candidacy to be the student body president?
Well, here's what I think should happen. I think Corey should win in an absolute landslide, and anyone that votes for another candidate is just outside of their mind, because Corey is the absolute most impressive individual I think I've ever met. I don't think there is a better candidate, dead or alive, other than Jesus Christ, that could be the president of the student body here at Notre Dame. And I really do hope that he won. And I think that, you know, Corey and Becca Blaze, his vice president, have a unique platform, and they're championing all the right things. And Corey cares so much about his fellow students. I've never seen anyone more well liked than Corey is, and that cares more about this university. So even if he doesn't win, because, you know, I like to put my hand down and joke, but even if he doesn't win, he's a great ambassador for this university, and he's one of my best friends, obviously, and I hope he won, and I think he did.
Well, we wish him well, but I must acknowledge the campaign manager for another campaign Jerry Tillery.
Why?
We'll be back with our guests in a minute.
Irish fans, make sure you download the official WatchND mobile app, available on iOS and Android devices. The WatchND mobile app is the best way to experience great Fighting Irish digital media, video, and audio content right on your tablet or smartphone. You'll get full access to our entire video on-demand library, live game and event broadcasts, live shows and press conferences, live game stats, and more. And best of all, it's free. Search for WatchND in the iTunes Store or Android Play to download the WatchND mobile app today.
Next week, there's not a single Republican or a Democratic debate scheduled. What will we do with our week off? Let's talk about it Monday with me, John Howell, WLS AM 890.
Welcome back to the Jack Swarbrick Show. Mick Aoki is heading into his sixth year as Notre Dame's head baseball coach after leading the Irish to a third-place finish in the Tufts ACC last season and the program's first trip to the NCAA Regionals in 9 seasons. Mick is known for developing players and has seen Major League Baseball draft 42 of his players at both Boston College and Notre Dame, including Pat Connaughton and Troy Mancini, who won the Brooks Robinson Award as the Baltimore Orioles Minor League Player of the Year at the end of 2015. The Irish returned their entire infield this season, And that is a good thing, since the team will play 19 games against teams ranked in the Perfect Game top 25 this season, including two home contests against number 5 LSU and 3 against number 11 Miami. We are excited to have Coach Aoki here today to talk about his Notre Dame baseball program and the exciting season that is about to begin.
Mick, thanks for joining us. It's great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, Coach, thanks for being here, man. It's been fired up.
Jeez, I'm surprised you were here. So what a pleasant
I know,
surprise.
Right? Seriously, yeah. He lets me hang around.
I know.
Baseball weather outside.
It is.
We can go out and play two, as Ernie Banks would say. The season's right around the corner. We're assuming it doesn't start at home. So what's on tap to get the season going?
So let's see, a week from tomorrow, we travel out to Santa Clara, California, and open up with the Broncos for a three-game set. So we play Friday the 19th, I think it is, and Saturday and Sunday, and then we'll fly back. But we're looking forward to it. We have one more weekend of practice, which will be critical for us, but we're really looking forward to opening the year.
You talk about that weekend of practice. It's always fascinating to me how the team here at Notre Dame prepares for the season. We're indoors, and it's very difficult, I think, to play maybe a full game. Talk about your preparation in this kind of cold weather period for your team.
So I've always coached in the north,
okay,
and where it's snowy and cold and whatnot. But I've always maintained that if you have the facilities that can facilitate development for your players on a personal level, and you have the wherewithal to be able to take trips and open up the season at the same time that everybody else in the country is opening up, that it's not that much of an issue. And I think Loftus allows for that. Our pitchers can long toss. I mean, they can throw the ball darn near 360 feet if they need to. They've got to keep it under 75 or so feet high or whatnot.
I don't know how that math is working. That's a frozen rope there.
But, those guys can do that. We can take ground balls. We can even we've gotten pretty handy with the fungo, so we can replicate some fly balls and different things like that in there. And then we do some scrimmaging in there so that we get the dynamic of that pitcher-hitter confrontation, and the pitchers have to be accountable for being able to field their position, controlling the running game, different things like that. So you have to use some imagination a little bit when somebody hits a ball. I think Kevin Biggio is a little upset that I've called two of his balls outs, and he thought maybe they may have left the yard, but they didn't leave the Loftus building, so so they were outs.
For those of you that might not know, the Loftus Sports facility is a track that surrounds an indoor track that surrounds a football field. So Coach is kind of describing how they practice inside of that facility. I just wanted to kind of give the context there. Behind that. So.
You've left a lot of blood and sweat and skin in that
building. I'm quite familiar with the Loftus Sports facility.
Well, the turf in there is brand new,
no,
right?
It's awesome.
So it's great. And I think that part has been – they redid the lighting a couple of years ago. It seems like every year they're upgrading that thing a little bit. So it's been great. It allows us – you know, we like to tell our recruits sometimes, hey, it's always 75 and sunny in Loftus. So,
we're
okay.
Coach, coming off a great year. Returned to the NCAA tournament, played against a really tough Illinois team in Champaign-Urbana. Great performance in the ACC last year. What are the key areas you've got to replace coming off last season?
I think from a personnel standpoint, the three biggest ones are Scott Kerrigan, Ryan Bull, and Robert Youngdahl. But I think we're able to do that. I think that kids are going to be able to step into some of those roles. We get some kids who didn't play for us during the whole entire last half of the season coming back. Kid like Jake Johnson, who played very little. Peter Solomon on the mound, who didn't play a whole heck of a lot for us going down the stretch. So we feel like we'll be able to take care of that and fill in those gaps. I think the key is now is just to try to get better a little bit every day. You know, get better from last year, get better as far as just within the scope of our own team on a daily basis, just get a little bit better every day and just take care of the input, and I think the output will take care of itself.
This team had a lot of strengths. You got some great pitching from a number of guys. We'll talk about that in a minute. But the defense, especially on the infield, seemed to me to be a signature of this squad. They turned a remarkable amount of double plays, especially in clutch times in the game. Would you agree that that's one of the strengths of this squad?
Yeah, I think our infield defense is really good, and it extends to the catching position as well.
Right.
I think Lidgey, I can probably think of three cases where him picking somebody off at second base or first base got us out of some really tight spots, and you might argue were really kind of watershed moments in those games. But I think our ability to turn the double play, I think our ability to just take care of the baseball in the infield was really at a pretty elite level. And we get that whole group back. And the great thing about that group is that they're just constantly wanting to get better. I'm not sure that you can hit them enough ground balls. They take pride in it. I think they know that they're pretty darn good at it, and they love working at it. And so I think you've got a pretty good recipe. And so I would expect that they'll play it at a pretty high level again this year. You
mentioned Ryan. Take us through the rest of that infield.
So you've got Zach Catulis at first, which was really a big upgrade for us. I mean, he's a kid who had played some outfield for us, and he's an athletic kid, and I think he really solidified the first base position for us. Kevin Biggio has improved greatly because the knock on him coming out of high school was that he couldn't play defense at a high enough level. And I think Kevin has become a superb defender. I mean, you know, won the Rawlings Gold Glove last year at second base. Lane Richards, who has, I think he just personifies steady. I mean, he just, he can make some great plays. He's blessed with a huge arm. But he's just as steady as can be. And then Kyle Fiala at third base is a really athletic kid, can high school shortstop, gone over to third base, and is a really, really good defender there.
You talk about getting better each and every day, and maybe for the common fan that doesn't understand the nuances of baseball, maybe they look to a movie like Moneyball to understand really the subtleties that lead to victories in your profession. Can you kind of take us through maybe some things that you look at in the preparation, in building a team, to know how you're going to be and what you really want to develop? So are there certain metrics you're looking for? Is there certain things that each guy is looking to do and get better in your mind? I'm just kind of curious from a common fan's perspective.
Well, we chart on certain things. You know, we kind of key on certain things. The things that we really try to focus on, things that we can control, right? So instead of really overly focusing on batting average, we focus on something that we refer to as quality at bats, right? So that would be productive outs, like a runner on third base with less than two outs, and you just hit a ground ball to the shortstop to score them, right?
Right.
It could be things like just executing situational baseball, bunts, and like that runner at third base thing I just described, base on balls, getting hit by pitches, extent anything that's an eight pitch or above at bat, taking a count from 0-2 to 3-2 type of stuff. So that things that we can control, we're constantly looking at. On the pitching end, we talk about quality pitches. And a quality pitch is essentially, did you execute the pitch
right
that you intended to execute, right? Regardless of outcome. You could get hit 9 miles, but if you executed the pitch that you wanted to execute.
Hopefully
not, right? Right. And if it did, then we have to obviously have a conversation with Chuck. But
exactly.
It's all his fault.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, if you executed what you wanted to, once it leaves your hand, you don't have any control over that pitch anymore.
So then in recruiting, you talk about quality pitches, quality at bats. How exactly do you do that when the things that are quantified are normally batting average, slugging percentage, RBIs? How do you look for the kids that really play that type of baseball?
Yeah, I think with the recruiting piece, you have to sort of come down to tools to a little bit, right? So you go down and you look at those tools. But I also think the other part that you pay a lot of attention to is just the way in which they play the game. There's so much failure in our game that if they're not playing as though they really enjoy it, when that failure gets ramped up when they come here and fielders are a little bit more proficient at turning batted balls into outs, they're going to be miserable in this thing, So do they play with energy? Are they good teammates? Are they into their teammates and successes and things like that? So you try to do as much as you can. When you get them on campus, you try to spend as much time with them as you can. We quiz our kids about how they were or different things like that, get a sense of it. Get a sense of the family, because oftentimes, you're recruiting not just the kid but the family as well. But I think a lot of it comes down to this is the culture that we're hoping to build and sustain in our locker room. So if the kid comes in, he has to, he has to kind of get up into that culture and understand that, that the I kind of has to go toward we.
Given the so many of the veterans you have back and the quality of the ball we play, tough for freshmen to come in and make an impact. But who are some of the freshmen we might see this year contributing to the team?
I think Matt Vierling will certainly be a guy that plays a big role for us at some level or another, either in the outfield or on the mound or both. I think Jack Connolly is another kid that will will impact us some there. Connor Hawk, I think, has an opportunity to impact us some there. And I feel really good about our infielders that we have in sort of in waiting, if you will, Cole Daly, Nick Podkol, Jake Singer. I think we've got some good players there. So looking forward to seeing why they develop. You, like you said, there's, you know, someone would have to get an injury or something would have to happen probably. But, you know, Cole Daly, I thought, played really well in the fall. And I think Matty Vierling is probably the one that's going to help us most quickly.
Mick, we got to let you go in a second here, but I don't want to do that without giving you an opportunity to mention the ALS fundraising effort that I know is so near and dear to you, and it's coming up again this year in association, I think, with Blue Gold Weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it is, and we're excited about that, and we're excited about having some people come out and raising the awareness of ALS and trying to help Pete Frades and the struggle that he's having from a physical standpoint as the disease sort of progresses in him. But, yeah, he's such an inspiration to me. You know, we talk about adversity and we talk about like the strong of heart type of that whole series. And I don't know that anybody embodies it any more than he does. You know, he gets basically a death sentence almost, 3 years ago now, I think. And he's battled it and he's made the most of it. And I think that it's probably fair to say that he's done more to advance the cause to try to find a cure of ALS than maybe any single human being on the planet. And just proud to be associated with him, and anything that we can do to help him, I'm really excited about doing.
Well, thanks for all you do. We're proud of you for being so committed to Pete and that cause, and anything we can do to help, we're looking forward to it. Have a great season.
Thank you.
We're looking forward to another great one for Irish baseball.
Well, thanks very much. Thanks for having me. Good to see you,
man.
Joe.
Good to see you, man.
All right.
We'll be back in a minute.
The Fighting Irish play here. WLS. AM 890.
Notre Dame women's lacrosse captain Barbara Sullivan is just the 9th three-time team captain in any sport in Notre Dame history. As an anchor of the Irish defense, Sullivan earned first-team All-America honors in 2015 and was the only defensive finalist for the Towariton Award as National Player of the Year. Sullivan is one of four returning All-Americans on a squad that is shooting for a 5th consecutive NCAA berth. Clearly, there is a lot for Jack and Joe to talk with Barbara about today.
Barbara, welcome. Thrilled
Thank
to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Season's off to a great start. Went down and thumped Jacksonville. Tell us about your impressions from the first game of the season.
Yeah, definitely. It was a great way to start out our season with a sizable lead. I think it really showcased what our team was capable of. In the beginning, it wasn't as clean as we'd like, but we definitely cleaned it up as the game went on and really showed what we're capable of.
You play a critical position for us, not only through your leadership on as captain, but on the field, on the defense, on the back end of this. What are the keys to being effective in that role?
I think it's definitely building a core unit with the people you're playing with, your goalie, who's to the right and left of you, being able to communicate and just really stay as a whole unit. Because if one person falls out of that loop, it really makes the whole defense suffer as a whole.
You talk about, you know, kind of building a unit and the continuity being such an important factor on the defense. You've got a freshman goalie that you're playing in front of right now. Talk about how you've been able to kind of work her into the system, you know, being a three-year, you know, four-year player and a three-time captain.
Yeah, well, definitely, first of all, Sam Jacqueline's coming in as a freshman, and she's playing like a senior. She's acting like a senior, like she's been here for 4 years. And we have a very veteran defense. There's four seniors. Three of us are captains. So we've been there, and it's kind of been an easier transition, I think, for her because of such a solid unit already that bringing her along just felt natural. And she's stepped up, and I'm really excited to see what she can do this year.
Talk about when you're on defense in women's lacrosse, is the goalie making calls like a soccer goalie does in moving the defense around, helping you understand where people are, or is it more of the defenders that do that play that role?
Definitely the goalie plays a huge role. I think in our sport, at least, like, every single person needs to be communicating for it to work, but she'll call out which direction we force, where the ball is, which helps people behind if they're or say if we're in a face guard, which means that we're taking the other player out completely, that person is just staring at the other person, so that if they don't know what's going on, they can listen to the goalie and really figure out what's happening.
Makes it difficult if you're not looking at the ball. So,
mm-hmm. Having now watched women's lacrosse for 8 years, I must tell you, I still have no clue what is a foul and what isn't a foul.
Well,
it's just, there's a mystery to it that I'm still, I've got elements of it, but not all of it.
The mystery is almost fun.
Yeah.
You're talking to the person who probably has some of the most fouls.
Obviously, you don't wear helmets. There's, mm-hmm. there's fundamental differences between the guys' game. But with regard to the use of your stick, what can you and can't you do as a defender?
Do you even know?
Well,
that's a real question.
I toe the line a lot, you know. You gotta. Each year there seems to be new rules, and it actually happens that wherever you go in the country, they call it differently. So you really, once a game starts, you kind of have to scout how the officials are calling the game. You know what's totally illegal and what you can do. However, how much body positioning you can get on them and if you're allowed to push a little bit or if not, that depends on the ref, to be completely honest. You can check. So that means that you have to stay in front and it has to be away from their head and you can't go through any type of part of their body. So it kind of has to be behind or straight in front. But that is very... it's a gray area, and I like to play that a little bit too much.
I'm encouraged by this answer. There's a reason I don't know the rules. They change all the time.
No one doesn't even know the rules.
Like, I don't know. No, there's actually a bunch of new ones this year.
Oh, wow. Do you know of any of the new ones? Any that you can share with the uninitiated?
You can't have your stick horizontal and push at the same time. That's the big new
one.
Can
you pull?
Yeah, you can pull. You can pull away.
I'm just around, maybe. That's an interesting defensive tactic. You might want to talk to Coach Halfpenny.
I'm going to try that out on Saturday.
Talk a little bit about we're in the rules realm right now. The rules realm. I'm going to coin that. The one that
the coin of the realm. Yeah, that's very good. You went all the way with that.
All the way. So. One of the things that I find most interesting when watching a women's lacrosse game, and as you know, I've been to a bunch,
mm-hmm.
is the clear path penalty, and I don't exactly foul whatever it is, and I've never been more frustrated because it seems as though you're not even allowed to get between the goal and the person, and I would love for you to explain that to me.
It's very frustrating. I agree, but it's called shooting space.
Gotcha.
Because we don't wear helmets and protective gear, and the ball is still super hard, and it can cause a lot of damage if it hits your face. You can't jump right in front of the ball. If you're playing defense and you're on them as they're going to goal, then you can be in front. But if you come out of nowhere and just stand in the middle of the path between the person
the sacrificial
with the ball
lamb.
And you can't do that.
No.
It's going to hurt.
Oh, my gosh.
The moment I know I really didn't understand the rules was when we had a goal disallowed because our shooter followed through on her shot.
Yep.
that was a mystery.
I was like, all right. I'm going
to
cheer really loud, and you guys are great.
Yep.
Talk a little bit about the personality of the team. How do you guys like to play? I know from talking to Chris what she's trying to achieve with the squad. Describe what that's like.
I think, well, talking with Chris, what she's kind of coined our program as fast, aggressive, passionate, and together. And I think when we do play, we use all of those adjectives, I guess, verbs. When we do play, we're a team, especially this year, that has each other's backs. Like, no one is going to go alone. No one is going to be on their own island. We're playing for each other, and if someone messes up, if someone drops the ball, we want our teammate to be the person behind picking it up because no one's going to be perfect, and I think that's just a huge thing that we've been trying to build for years, and I think this year it's been really it's showing in practices in our first game, and I just hope it continues.
You talk about you've been building this really for the 4 years you've been here. I kind of cut them off a little bit. Yeah, 5 years, but you only played 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
My offense. So you've been building this whole program, and you've had such great success. Talk about where you guys have come over the last 4 or 5 years, and how you've seen that, you know, kind of the transition to where you are now with 11 of 12 returning starters, and really playing some great lacrosse.
What's been unique is Chris and I both came in at the same time. Our coach. So her and I have been through it all together, and especially like each year you can see little culture changes and just the way our team is playing. We're very quick and our stick skills have gotten way better than they were when my freshman year. I think there's always been a solid culture that I've been a part of, and just the older girls teaching the younger girls. And I love my freshman year team just as much as I love this year's team. And I think we've built a program that is going to be in the top five, the top four, and I think we just keep getting better, which has been exciting.
That's great. You obviously, this is a sport that has some perennial powers.
Oh, yes.
And you run into them
yes,
every year.
A lot.
Yeah. And I too feel like the program is knocking on that door and about to become one of them. Mm-hmm. You get a big test this weekend against Stanford. You guys have sort of gone back and forth on an annual basis
Definitely.
Between the two schools. Surprised to learn you're planning on playing it indoors. Was there a reason why you why you thought that should be an indoor?
The weather's beautiful.
We were both shocked. So.
The sun is shining. I don't know. well, I think the snow
Visit
speaks for
Indiana.
Itself.
So what challenge does Stanford pose for you?
They're a very similar team to us. They're fast. They're well coached. They have great stick skills. And I think it's just, as you said, we've traded back and forth, and it's always been they've ended our season. We had bumps playing them our first game of the season. It's just been a lot of energy and just not ill will, but it's just a very passionate game between the two of us. And I'm just really excited to get out there and play.
Well, Joel's counting on you getting revenge
yeah,
for the football
I'm
game.
We're going to try. I got some revenge to get back for us last year, but
yeah.
No. I mean, anytime you play Stanford or
yeah,
everyone has those teams that really get under your skin.
I was going to say, you know, you play an uber competitive schedule. Mm-hmm. So you have to be ready for each and every game. But I know, especially for me, you know, the Stanford game for us, the USC game, those are games that I really look forward to. Looking at your schedule, the ACC, you already mouthed Northwestern in mm-hmm. a response to one of our questions. Is there a game or two or even three that you kind of really look forward to? And that's like, you know, that's something that you're planning on, mm-hmm. you know, getting ready for already.
I think every year, at least for me personally, it's Northwestern. They're our rival next door, and beating them junior year was one of the best games that I've been a part of. Luckily, I only played a couple games that year, but mm-hmm. that was amazing. And I think when you lose so many times on that home on their home turf and your season ends there, I think that always just becomes a part of you and a team that you really want to beat. And we've played them a million times, that you know each other so well, and it's just such great respect between the two teams, but it's also a lot of fun. And then the other ACC teams, like Duke embarrassed us last year, so that'll be exciting to get to play them again. And Stanford as well.
How did this come to be your sport? Did you play other sports growing
yeah.
up? And why lacrosse?
I played soccer, basketball, and lacrosse 4 years of high school. I was one of those kids that just played everything, and I loved it. I'm telling you right now, if I could go play basketball next year, I would. Mm-hmm. My parents are big-time basketball people. My dad is very similar to you, doesn't really know what's happening on the lacrosse field, even after all these years.
But I've stood with him.
Yeah, uh-huh, yeah, he's pretty funny, actually. On recruiting trips, he asked the coaches, why do you do this lacrosse thing? So that was always fun. But, no, they're awesome. It's just huge on Long Island. My high school, Garden City, were perennial state powers. And it was kind of just what you did, and the opportunities were there. And if I wanted to play soccer or basketball, I would have had to commit to that fully. And lacrosse, I had a unique opportunity to just do what I was doing and having fun in high school. And the opportunities came, and I love Notre Dame, and I wanted to go here more than anything. So,
well, Muffet's office is just down the hallway. We can check and see whether we can get a 60 or somehow.
Just keep going.
Thanks so much for being with us.
Good
luck this weekend. Good luck this year, and thanks for all your leadership of this program. I know how important it's been to getting this team where it is.
Thank you.
We'll be back in a minute.
Notre Dame football is on WLS.
AM 890.
We are just about out of time, so here to wrap things up are your hosts, Jack and Joe.
Thanks, Jack. Real quickly as we go off the air, I just want to recognize four Irish student-athletes who earned ACC postgraduate scholarships. This is one of the highest honors you can receive, and it goes to Patrick Hodan of soccer, Sarah Kappers, senior rower, Jake Kildo, cross-country track and field, and Matt Landis for men's lacrosse. So congratulations to all of them. And, Joe, we'll see you next week.
See you next week. Had a lot of fun.
Go Irish.
Irish.
This has been the Jack Swarbrick Show, brought to you by Team Notre Dame partners Sprint, Coke Zero, Under Armour, Gatorade, and is also sponsored by Xfinity. Listen this time every week for everything Notre Dame athletics. The Jack Swarbrick Show on your home for Notre Dame football, 89 WLS.